Have you ever felt like you're all alone? Have you ever strayed away from God, or maybe you just go through the motions of Christianity, such as going to church or praying at dinner, even listening to like Q107 or any other Christian radio station? Do you think you're saved because of it? Hi, many of you know me, but for those of you who don't, I am Dakota Poissant. I've gone to this church for as long as I can remember, and I know many of you. But probably the most recognizable similarity between us is that I think we probably all have done at least one of those things I mentioned earlier. You want to know why? It's because everyone does. If we didn't, we would be perfect, and the Bible says that we can't. Today, I'm going to test you all on your own walk with God, mainly focusing on checking your own faith and reconnecting with God if you're lost. First thing we're going to discuss is testing our own faith. So here's an example. John is 19. He goes to church and has gone with his family since he was 3. Listens to some Christian music, prays before dinner with his family, tries to keep his morals. That's about as far as his faith goes. Never reads his Bible, doesn't really pay attention in youth group or church. To be honest, he doesn't even want to be there. The only reason he is because his parents make him. So, audience participation time. Do you think John is saved? Anybody? Well, probably not, right? Well, that's what quite a few people in the world are like. Many of them think, oh, I go to church and I know about God, so I'm going to go to heaven. And there's a bunch of people who think church is just the get-out-of-jail-free card of life. And really, it's nowhere near that simple. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9 reads, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all of this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. If you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So, how can we apply that verse? Well, as you heard, God's people may suffer and have trials, which most of us, I'm sure, have experienced at some point in our life. But these trials are designed to prove that we can stick with God through thick and thin, not just when things are going good. If we never had difficulty, how would we know if we really knew God, or if we were just going through the motions? Many times, people believe themselves to be saved, but aren't ready for the fullness of the Spirit. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4, "Brothers and sisters, in the past, I could not talk to you as I talk to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as I would people without the Spirit, or babies in Christ. The teaching I gave you was like milk, not solid food, because you were not able to take the solid food. Even now, you are not ready. You are not spiritual because there is jealousy and quarreling among you, and this shows that you are without the Holy Spirit. You are acting like people of the world. One of you says, 'I belong to Paul,' and another says, 'I belong to Apollos.' When you say things like this, you are acting like people of the world." What Paul means when he's writing this is that the Corinthians, whom he wrote these letters to, were baby Christians, meaning they were either beginning Christians or maybe even Christians who thought they knew everything about God and were really just kind of immature in their faith. He couldn't use in-depth biblical study with them because they wouldn't get it, mainly because they weren't ready to handle it. God used Paul to reach out and say, "Hey, you guys need to just shape up because right now you aren't acting very Christian with all this arguing and stuff." Some of these ideas will probably help us with our own reconnection with God. Many times in our society, people drift away from God. Maybe it's because you start hanging out with the wrong crowd or go to a church that acts like you can go to heaven just by being kind and loving and all that sin stuff just isn't real. And if you can see past that and say, hey, this isn't biblical, this is what our world wants us to believe, or that the people you hang out with maybe are leading you astray and that they aren't Christian. And those times, it's those times that define a Christian and show who's truly believing and who's just going through the motions. In Psalm 51, which is David's prayer after Nathan came to see him after his sin with Bathsheba, David cries out, I know my wrongs and I can't forget my sin. You are the only one that I have sinned against. I've done what you say is wrong, and you are right when you speak and fair when you judge. I was brought into this world in sin. In sin, my mother gave birth to me. You want me to be completely truthful? So teach me wisdom. Take away my sin, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear sounds of joy and gladness. Let the bones you crushed be healed again. Turn your face against my sins and wipe out all my guilt. Create in me a pure heart, God, and make my spirit right again. Not send me away from you or take the Holy Spirit away from me. Give me back to the joy of your salvation. Keep me strong by giving me a willing spirit. Then I will teach your ways to those who do wrong, and sinners will turn back to you. So David's saying that he knows he did wrong, and he wants to make himself right with God again. At this point, he has committed two of the most unforgivable sins in the Bible. And what I mean is at this point, which is before Christ was even born, there wasn't even a sin offering available to make up for the sins he committed. No amount of sacrifice could fix that. Not only did he have relations with Bathsheba, but he killed her husband in order to do it. At this point, David thought he was doomed. And I'm sure the biggest thought going through his mind was, oh man, God is going to hate me. How can he love someone who has sinned this terribly? But God did still love David, as he loves us all. And this is how we can know that we are saved. Not only through the little things like going to church or even praying before supper with the family, but through recognizing when we do something wrong and confessing that sin to God. Because although he is a loving God, we know what happens if we don't find his favor or we disobey him. It doesn't exactly end well. So hopefully you all understand and know why we have to be discerning of our own lives. And maybe now we can see how to accomplish that. And using these ideas of prayer and reconnection, we can all hopefully come face to face with God one day so he may say, well done, good and faithful servant. We will now go into our closing songs, so if you could all rise, that'd be great.